Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and open them up to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. And just by way of reminder and way of introduction, remind you that 2 Peter was the Apostle Peter wrote the book of 2 Peter, just like he did the book of 1 Peter. He wrote it to the same group of people, Christians that were scattered around the world, but he had different purposes when he wrote. And you remember that he wrote 1 Peter as an encouragement. The folks that he was writing to were being persecuted for their faith. They were going through a lot of trials. And so 1 Peter was a letter, an epistle that he wrote, said, hey, I just want to encourage you. You're going to make it through. God's going to help you get through. Just don't give up. Don't quit. Just stand. And then 2 Peter is not an encouragement, but it's a warning. It's a warning to that same group of people that false teachers were coming in to their assemblies, into their churches, and they were attempting to lead the people away from the truth. And Peter was throwing up a warning signal and said, you need to recognize them, and you need to not listen to them, and you need to stand and stay by the truth. And again, we divided the book of 2 Peter up in the way the chapters are divided. The first chapter was supplement your faith. In other words, grow in your faith. Faith should be a growing thing. The Bible says God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to get saved. And so every single person is given by God enough faith to be saved. But after we're saved, God puts us in different situations and gives us the opportunities for our faith to grow. And we ought to take advantage of those opportunities. And our faith grows as we get closer to Him, as we depend more on Him, as we go through trial after trial, test after test, and see that He is able, He's abundantly able, and He'll never put anything on us more than we can stand. And as we grow closer to Him, our faith grows. So that was what chapter 1 was about. Chapter 2 is secure your faith. And in this chapter, we'll do half of it tonight and half of it probably next week, Peter's warning against the false teachers. And he's going to describe some of the lies that they will tell. He's going to tell us why they're here, what they're trying to accomplish. And he's just going to give the folks that he was writing to and us at the same time a warning. He said, just don't listen to them. Because if you do, your faith will wither. It will dry up. Because growth in faith depends on the truth. And these false teachers are not giving you truth. They are giving you the lies of Satan. And so beware. Don't listen to them. And then in chapter 3, we're going to talk about serving in faith. And so tonight, we look at chapter 2. We're going to try to cover the first 14 verses tonight. And when we get down to verse 10 through 14, I'm going to abbreviate my remarks because those were some of the verses that Brother Leonard covered on Sunday in the Sunday school lesson. So, but we start in verse 1 tonight where the Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Here's what Peter's saying in this verse. He said, there were false prophets among the people. He says, false prophets have always been present with the people of God. He said, this is not a new thing. It's happened in the past. God's chosen people have been visited over and over with false teachers, false prophets. And I believe that Peter believed like Paul. I believe that Peter would agree with Paul when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:11 that these things happened unto them for examples and are written for our admonition. And here's what he was saying. Hey, there were false teachers in the past. And they came to God's people in the past. And the stories or the accounts that are in the Bible, they're not there by accident. They're not there just by coincidence. They're there because the Holy Spirit wants them to be examples to us, so that we can look back and see how false prophets have come in before and how people have believed their lies and have been diverted from the truth and have been drawn away from God. And what has happened in their lives, the consequences of being drawn away from God. And so, I would just remind you, I think everything in the Bible would fit that description. It's all there for us. And don't think, you know, that the people back in days gone by are any different from us. Say, well, preacher, but the world is different. We have so many new things today that they didn't have back in that day. But it doesn't matter. The temptations of Satan are the same. He may have different devices to use today, but he's tempting us the same way that he tempted them. And as we go back and read their stories, and as we read how they reacted and what they did as a result of those temptations and how some of them were drawn away from God, we can learn from them. And it's always amazed me how sometimes hard-headed we are to have to learn lessons ourselves, have to learn lessons personally. Wouldn't it be great if we could learn lessons by looking at somebody else's life and see what happened to them and say, I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want to make that same decision because I don't want to pay the price. I don't want the consequence that ended up in their life. But so many of us are stubborn, we say, well, I'm different. You know, it won't happen to me. I can delve in the untruths and it won't affect me the same way as it did them. Well, we're not so different. What does the Bible say? There's nothing new under the sun. And we need to learn from these examples. And so Peter starts off and he says, there were false prophets also among the people. It's not a new thing. Then he says, even as there shall be false prophets among you. And God warned us in the Bible, way back in the book of Deuteronomy, that false prophets were going to come and what we should do when they come. You don't need to turn to it, but let me just read a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 13 where the Bible says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. But God's saying, look, when they come and they try to draw you away from God, don't listen to them. Don't do what they say. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God lets these false prophets come as a test to us so that we have an opportunity to prove to him that we love him with all our heart and our soul. I mean, first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so he gives us an opportunity to prove that love when these false prophets or these dreamer of dreams come and they try to draw us away from God. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That's what God says to do. When the false prophets come, don't listen to them, but listen to God. Obey him. Walk after him. Hang on to him. Get as close as you can to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And so God's very clear. That, and that instruction to his people back in the book of Deuteronomy applied just as much to the people in Peter's day as it did to the people in Moses' day, and it applies just as much to us as it did to both of them. These are the instructions that God says. Now look, there's going to be false teachers come in, and they're going to try to draw us away from God. And sometimes the best defense is to go on offense. The best defense against false teachers is to stick close to God and to stick close to his word and to stick close to the truth and just decide before they come that you're going to obey and not be drawn away. Peter says, they're going to privily bring in. In other words, they're going to try to smuggle it in. You see, Satan doesn't try to tempt us with big lies. He tempts us with little lies, with enough truth mixed in that it sounds good. And so that's what Peter's talking about. They're going to try to sneak it in when we're not paying attention. And there'll be enough truth mixed in that if we're not paying attention, we might get drawn in. But he says they are damnable heresies, heresies of destruction. Heresies that will destroy your faith if you believe the things that they teach. Now again, you won't lose your salvation, but your faith won't grow. It'll wither. It'll stagnate. It won't develop like God wants it to develop. They are denying the Lord that bought them, it says in that first verse. It doesn't mean that Jesus or God was ever their Lord. But I'll remind you tonight that God paid the price and bought every single person, whether they accepted it or not. When he died on Calvary, God or Jesus paid the price for every sinner, those that have received him and those that have rejected him over and over and over again. And so what he's saying, God bought them, but they denied him, and as such will face the destruction that comes, the wages of sin is death. They face the destruction that comes from denying God. All right, look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. He says, false teachers are going to come, and many will follow them. Many will go after them. The Bible tells us that in the last days that many people are going to be deceived and turn from the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I just will state the obvious. I think we're seeing that in our day. And I'm not predicting, I'm not setting a date, because nobody knows when, you know, the Lord's coming back. But we live in a day when people are turning away from the truth. They are flocking after teachers that tell them what they want to hear, and they do not like or will endure sound doctrine. They will not endure the truths from this book. And they speak evil of the truth. It's not enough that they ignore it. It's not enough that they turn away from it. They attack it. So they attack the Bible. They attack people that stand on the Bible. They attack churches that stand on the Bible. I mean, churches and preachers that preach truth are accused of being narrow-minded, hateful. Brother Bill mentioned the hate crime that was signed. Hey, the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination to God. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner. And if they want to convict us of that, so be it. I mean, the truth still needs to go forth, but we live in a day when sound doctrine will not be endured. People don't want their sins named. They want to come to a place, a lot of people do, and say, and have somebody tell them, hey, everything's okay. You're all right. In effect, what they're saying is, you are God. You get to decide what's right and wrong for you. Heaven forbid that somebody should take this book and tell you what's right and what's wrong. You can decide that for yourself. I'm sorry, that's not what this book says. The Bible, what this book says about the times that people did that, and we're going to talk about a couple of them tonight, God destroyed them because they were turning away from him and ignored the truth. And so, what's going on in Peter's day, I think is going on in our day. Verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The use of the word covetousness tells us why the false teachers come. They want to line their own pockets. They're in it for the gain that they can make for themselves. And they want to make merchandise of you, what Peter's warning the people. They want to exploit you. They want to take what you have for themselves. Just know, Peter says, that their judgment and damnation is coming. It lingereth not. It slumbereth not. God knows what's going on, and the false teachers one day will pay a price. Now, in the next few verses, Peter gives us three examples. Three examples to show where people and beings, because it includes angels, his first example of angels is angels, where people and angels have turned away from the truth, have turned and followed a false teacher, and the results that came as they did that. And again, these are for our examples. I mean, Peter says, learn from these examples. Don't make the same mistakes yourself. In verse 4, the first example. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And that for if, he's starting a phrase here that's not going to be finished until verse 9. But he's saying, and again, this is his first example. Hey, the angels believed a false teacher. That false teacher was Satan. Satan said, I can be God. I can ascend up to where God is. I can have everything that God has. And many people think from reading the book of Revelations that a third of the angels, the angels that were a creation of God, created to be a minister of God, to do his work. What Peter is saying is, look, they follow the false teacher, and they turned away from the truth. And as a result of turning away from the truth, they were cast out of heaven, delivered to the chains of darkness, and are reserved there for until judgment. And Peter says, hey, we can learn from the angels. Don't believe a lie. You cannot be God yourself. There is a right and there is a wrong, and you don't get to define it. God does it in this book. The second example he gives us is the people that lived in the day of Noah, verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. And again, the use of the term eighth person, there was eight people saved altogether. His three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their wives, his wife, and then Noah. So, and I don't know if Noah was the last one on the ship but he was the eighth person that was saved. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You remember what the Bible says about Noah's day? I mean, it's the same thing. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. In the days of Noah, they were doing whatever they wanted to do. I mean, they were deciding what's right and what's wrong. And what they were deciding was right, God said, was evil. And so he destroyed the whole world. Every person that he made, except for eight, again, as an example to us. You follow false teachers. You think that you can do whatever you want to do. You think you get to define right and wrong. You don't. God is going to judge that. He destroyed the whole earth except for eight people. God hasn't changed. He'll do the same thing in our day if we turn away from truth and decide that we can be gods and define what's right and what's wrong for ourselves and ignore the truth that's in this book. The third example is the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, beginning in verse 6, going down through verse 8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You remember the story. God sent fire from heaven. He burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. He turned them into ashes. And again, Peter mentions it. They're an example to us. I mean, their story is in the Bible so that we can learn from it. Those that will live ungodly will pay a price. Now, it says, he delivered just Lot. And three times, Peter refers to the fact that, you know, Lot was just. He was a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. But he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds, with the filthy conversation that he exposed himself to. Now, I believe we'll see Lot in heaven. I believe Lot will be in heaven. But I think, you know, he's the best example of the three as to what happens to a person, a Christian, when they turn from the truth and turn to the world and listen to the lies of the false teacher. Instead of growing in grace, as God wants all of us to do, as God wanted Lot to do, which the truth allows us to do, we see Lot, as he turns from truth, sink further and further into sin. Even his physical position paints that picture. I mean, the first time we read about him, he turns his eyes toward Sodom. Then he pitches his tent toward Sodom. Then he moves into Sodom. Then he's setting in the gate at Sodom as one of its leaders. And so he sinks further and further into sin. And notice what happens. He lost the blessings of God. I mean, when he was living in truth, living with Uncle Abraham, God was blessing him so much that there wasn't room for the land to hold them both. That's why they had to separate in the first place. I mean, God blessed him with material possessions, but he lost all that. He lost the influence on his family. I mean, remember, he went to his married daughters and his sons-in-laws and said, hey, an angel of God has come and he's told me he's going to destroy the city. We need to get out of here. And they laughed at him. They wouldn't listen to him at all. He lost his wife. He lost his two daughters to sin. He lost everything that he had. He was no use to God. And as I was studying, I was reminded of that verse that talks about if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And that's exactly what happened to Lot. God had no use for him. And he lost everything that he had. Why? Because he turned from the truth and went into this wicked city and exposed himself to their deeds and their filthy conversation. And again, it's an example to us. example to every Christian. Beware of false teachers. Beware of where they will lead you. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now again, God knows how to deliver the righteous. He delivered Noah, his family. He delivered Lot. Tried to deliver his wife and his two daughters. But he also knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. In other words, he knows how to keep punishing the unjust until they come to the day of judgment, where they will be judged and cast into hell. All right, real quickly, let me do verses 10 through 14. Again, this was part of the Sunday school lesson on Sunday, but let me just make a couple comment or two about each verse. But verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They walk after the flesh. They're presumptuous and self-willed. They have no respect for authority, not for the authority of man or for the authority of God. And they're not afraid to trash talk those that are in authority, either in the government, either in the church, or even God himself. They are presumptuous enough to think that they have the right to tear down anybody that's in authority. Verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Angels have more power than these false teachers, but they won't accuse them before God, because the angels know that God already knows, and that God already has punishment lined up for them. There's a verse in Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Even the archangel Michael, he didn't rebuke the devil. He knew he didn't need to, because he knew that God already knew, and that God was going to take care of it. Verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Peter's saying, and again, I want you to notice how blunt and direct Peter is. He said, these false teachers are like dumb animals, brute beasts. They just need to be taken out and killed like animals. That's exactly what needs to happen. He said, they speak evil of things they don't understand. They don't understand God. They don't understand the truth. They don't understand the Bible. And yet they speak like they know. They speak like they, you know, have authority. They don't. They don't. They will perish in their own corruption. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They take pleasure in their sin. And Peter calls them spots or blemishes, blots or blemishes on all humankind. They will perish in their unrighteousness. And then verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, heart, they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. They are not faithful. They look for ways to be unfaithful. They can't stop themselves. Sin has become so ingrained in their being that they can't stop themselves. He says they attack those that are unstable. They attack those that are young in the faith, so to speak. Because their heart's filled with covetousness. They're thinking of only satisfying themselves. And it doesn't matter what they do to other people. And we'll quit here tonight, but we'll pick it up next week. Again, Peter says, look, when they come, as they will come, they've come before, don't listen to them. Just stand by the truth. Stay true to God. God will take care of these false teachers. But you know, I was thinking as I was driving up here this afternoon. If somebody came out, well, I'll tell you, there have been people that have come out and named names and said things that have been a whole lot milder than Peter said about false teachers today. There were some people that came out about this guy in California, you know, that was predicting the date that Jesus was going to come back. And there were some people that criticized him in the press and on the radio. And there were all sorts of people that rose up to his defense that said, you know, even if he's wrong, you ought not to speak against him in the way that you've spoken about him. And they implied that the people that stood for the truth and told the truth were unkind in their criticism of that guy and his predictions. And I couldn't help but wondering, what would they say if Peter took him on and said, he's just like a dumb animal that deserves to be taken out and killed. He's in it for the money. And by the way, he made a lot of money by all reports. He didn't really care about what he did to the people that believed him and, you know, looked for the Lord to come. I just wonder, you know, what the critics would say about Peter if he was here today and with the same bluntness talked about the false teachers that he did in his day. He probably wouldn't be received too well. But this is the kind of teaching that we need. Again, I think he did it in all kindness. He did it in all kindness. But he didn't pull any punches. He told him exactly what God told him to tell him. And that's what we need today. We need the same truth today. Glad you're here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.